Turning the Word of God this morning to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, one of the great books in the Bible, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, let's look at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. God wants his people to find comfort. Now look down at verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. May God bless the reading of his word. Father, thank you for this time, this hour. Thank you for the good word of God. And thank you for being the God that you are, that you want your people to have comfort, that you love your people. You want the best for your people. Oh God, help your people to realize that we are to walk humbly before you, and we are to obey you, and we are to trust you. Help us to hear the scriptures, the word of God, and give us hearts that long to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, that we might live, that you might bless us. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. You remember David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Here Isaiah describes our God as a gentle and mild God over his people. God is not someone that's harsh. God has good thoughts towards us. God loves us. Do y'all understand that today? God is not like some conqueror who's conquered all of us, but he's the kind of God that's tender, has tender feelings towards us, like that of a shepherd who carries his lambs when they're unable to walk in his own arms and gently leads them amongst the feeble and the delicate. Some of you may have a little animal at home, maybe a little dog or puppy, or maybe even a cat. Some of you may even allow them in the house. When they get sick and they die, what do y'all do? It hurts like losing a family member, don't it? And even before they die, you take them over to the veterinarian to get treated for various things that might be happening to them. And you take them home and you baby them, don't you? Just like a baby. You know, God's like that with us. He's a tender, loving God. He cares for us. Just like a shepherd does his little lambs and sheep, because they're all important to him. I want to say to you this morning, you're important to God. You're very important to God. You're not just one out of a 7.4 billion. You're more than that to God. We're all dear to His heart because we're His people. As His people, we need to reflect on that. Not just when you come and sit down today at a sermon, but as you go down the road in your automobile, as you're in your homes, as you're on the jobs, remember the eye of God is on you. God's looking at you as if you're the only person in the world. You all know that. His eye never wanders away. It's always on you. God never glances away. He's always watching you. Why? You're important to Him. You're important to Him. The verb translated to feed refers to all the care of a shepherd over his flock and means to tend and to guard and to govern and to provide pasture, to defend from danger as a shepherd does his flock. That's the way God looks over us. It's often applied in the scriptures to God represented as the tender shepherd, and especially to the Redeemer. Our Redeemer is our shepherd. What a loving shepherd we have, and He's our God, folks. He's our God. Now, these opening verses where He says, comfort ye, my people, Israel's been having a hard time. You know why Israel's been having a hard time? They've been disobeying God. You know what's fixing to happen to Israel when Isaiah wrote this? It won't be long. They're going to be captured and sent to Babylon for 70 years. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to God. And yet He was loving them, caring for them, providing for them. They were ignoring Him. Folks, that's happening to our country today. It's happened to the church today in our country. Too many places we forgot about God. Did you read in the bulletin what I put about the minister they called? Fleecing the flock? It's in the bulletin. That's just one case. I see this every day. I mean, every week, just about it. About some minister or something in church going on that's displeasing to the Lord. And God is trying to let His people know that although they're going to have to go into captivity because of the way they're living, because God's not going to let us get by when we do wrong. God cares for us more than a parent cares for his child. He's not going to let us get by with doing wrong. And God is trying to let His people be encouraged to know that He cares for them. Even though He's going to have to deal with them, He still cares for them. Isaiah says He gathers the lambs with His arms and describes all those that belong to Him. You know, everybody don't belong to the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Look up here at me. You belong to the Lord. Everybody don't belong to the Lord. I know some people would want to argue with you about that, but that's a Bible truth. Everybody don't belong to the Lord. Oh, He owns everybody, but they don't belong to Him. Not as a family member. This is such a beautiful expression that our shepherd gathers us in His arms. You ever been hurt while you were growing up? You ever had your feelings hurt? You ever went to mama? You ever went to your mom Weren't that a comforting feeling? When you went to Mom. You know, Mama understood, didn't she? You know what? Mama cared. Mama really cared. God really cares too. And so what Isaiah is expressing to us in this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, and I don't have time to preach on all of this chapter today. I wish I did. We need to do like the church used to do. They went to church early in the morning and preached all day. We don't do that no more. We got to have some places it's 20 minutes, but I ain't going to stop at 20 minutes now. I used to be scared to death when God called me to preach. What am I going to say? Now I get mad when the clock gives me 45 minutes. Praise God. Listen, a similar thing is often done by a shepherd. The weak lamb, unable to keep up with the flock, becomes exhausted, and a shepherd will pick that little lamb up in his arms and carry it. We've seen pictures of that in movies or in a picture of a shepherd holding a little lamb. All day long, the shepherd attends the flock, leading them into the green pastures, taking them to fountains of water, choosing a convenient place for them to rest. A shepherd really cares for his little flock. And that's what Isaiah's trying to picture for us. God really cares for us, folks. Amen. Amen. And there's times when I know I've experienced it, you've experienced it, and we wonder, does God really care? Yes, He does. In our Sunday school lesson, we saw what a trying time Abraham just went through. But you know, all the while, God was caring for Abraham. God already knew what Abraham was going to do. But Abraham didn't know what he was going to do fully. But he did. Because God knows what you're going to do, but sometimes you don't know what you're going to do, and God tests you. God tests us to see what will we do, so you will know what you will do. It's easy to say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but not do it. You ever did that? Some people go buy something, put it on a credit card, and payment time comes, they don't want to pay for it. Then they send a truck out to get it. You follow what I'm saying? God tests us to see what we're going to do. He knows what we're going to do, but you don't know. At night, the shepherd will bring his flock near his tent. If there's danger, he encloses them in the fold to protect them. And all the flock knows his voice. And they follow him. You got a dog at home? Oftentimes, even a cat. They know our voice. We'll go home after a while. They'll probably send me by Smithfield. Got to get that cat something to eat, amen? We get home, you know what that little cat's going to be doing? Did you bring a sack for me with something in it I want? That cat's spoiled. It knows its master, loves it, provides for it. And if she don't take him something, he says they're just like that. Do we sit like that before God? God, you didn't give me what I wanted. God gives us what he knows best for us. Amen? God gives us what he knows best for us. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Think about what David said there, brother. The Lord is my shepherd. Say that. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Come on. I shall not want. He leadeth me to lie down in the green pastures. God's leading us where we need to be at. To be taken care of, folks. Y'all listening? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. When we get tired and weary, he restores us. That's one thing about church. When you come to church, it happened to me a million times, seemed like. And Faye said often, she said, honey, I just weren't able to go to church today. And then she'll say, but I'm so glad I went because I feel so much better. Amen. There's something about God's word, being with God's people, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, our gathering together brings refreshment to us, brings strength to us, encourages us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is leading you down the right path of life if we listen to him. Aren't you glad the shepherd of the flock is looking out for you? He's leading you the right way. If you'll follow him. If you don't follow him, you get out in dangerous territory. You get out where you may get hurt. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's nice to stay in fellowship with the Lord, folks, knowing you're in the will of the Lord. That's what David is saying. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there anything more comforted than knowing one day you're going to be home in heaven? There's nothing more comforted than knowing you're going to heaven. We live in a dangerous world, folks. But there's nothing like knowing I'm going to heaven. Because the good shepherd is leading me home. How many hearts have found comfort in this psalm we just read? Yes, I see your hands. How many lives have been blessed by our redeeming shepherd? Yet this great, gentle, loving shepherd is the omnipotent, almighty God, folks. He's the eternal God. Our shepherd is God. Look down in verse 12 in your Bible. It talks about our great shepherd, who he is, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales. Think about what God has done. He's weighed the mountains and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor, have taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Here Isaiah in these verses describe the greatness, the power, and the majesty of our God, who is our shepherd. Treats us like little sheep or lambs. And yet he's the Almighty God. He's the Almighty God that has already weighed the mountains. He knows how much this whole earth weighs, folks. He knows how much water's in the universe. Notice, Isaiah in these verses describes the greatness and the power and the majesty of God. God has made all things and he is infinitely great. The prophet said that God had entire control over all the nations. You listen to the nations today. Boy, we're the most mighty nation in the world, America brags. I get sick when I hear them boasting of how great we are. Folks, we're nothing before God. All the nations put together is nothing before God. Ain't that something? What have you got to brag about, America? What has China got to brag about? Or Russia? What has the whole world got? If the world could see how they are before a holy God, there'd be some changes made. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all listen to me carefully. If you can see how you are before God, you might walk real careful. I'm going to tell you something. I come home this week from recording, I believe it was. I'd come over here and record it. I went home. I walked in the house. And I saw Faith sitting there on the couch. And she was all teared up. I said, "What's wrong, honey? What's wrong?" I thought the cat had died. She said, "Honey, I'm an awful sinner." She had the Word of God there in her lap, was reading it. She said, "I'm an awful sinner." I want to ask you a question today. Have you ever seen how awful you are as a sinner? You ain't gonna never, this not good English, but you ain't never gonna really enjoy God till you see what an awful sinner you are. We got to realize, folks, God is a holy God. And we're a sinful people. I don't care how good you are, God says you're not good. And if you read the Word of God, you'll sit down and read the Word of God. That chapter Brother Johnny read today is a good illustration of that. You sit down and read that chapter. And you see what an awful sinner you are. We don't have a thing to brag about, none of us. Amen. Yes. Notice the hand of God can hold all the water on earth and in the heavens above. God can take his hand just like that and hold all the water that there is anywhere. Boy, that's a big hand, ain't it, brother? The word the hollow of his hand means properly the hand as it's closed, forming a hollow or cavity by which water can be taken up. God can think about the ocean, 12 miles deep in places and more. All that water, and God's got it like that. Amen. Folks, we're going to go live with an awesome God one day. And what Isaiah is telling us, he's telling us how tender and loving and caring God is, and yet he's this almighty God. That made everything. That controls everything. God can take up the vast oceans and all the waters in the lakes and the streams and the clouds in the palm of his hand. God also created the heavens with the breath of his mouth. You think it's amazing he can hold all the water? What about this? Psalms 33:6 says, by the word, just a word of his mouth, were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He just made the universe for speaking. And yet he loves me so much, he's like a shepherd holding a little lamb close to his breast, caring for it. He's from one extreme to the other, isn't he? He's God, folks. And we're dear to him. The psalmist said in 147:4, he even tells the number of the stars. You know what? Our educated scientists and astronomers can't tell how many stars is out there. And they got computers. In fact, they can't even see all of them out there. Amen? The Bible says he don't only know how many they are, he's got a name on every one of them. Woo! Woo! What a God! And I'm going to go live with him one day. Amen? God made the heaven and the earth and the sea in number and weight and measure as an architect, and he lacketh neither power nor wisdom to work in and for his people. If God can do all of that, make all of that, and yet love me and you so much, what an awesome God. What an awesome God. When we look around and see all the things God has provided for us, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? He's made all this for us, folks. He didn't need any of this stuff that's in this world. He made it for man. Think of all the fruit and vegetables and nuts. Just at our house, folks, we got so much to eat, I don't know what to eat. Amen. Faith said yesterday, or was it this morning? She was eating watermelon. She said, look at my stomach. It looks like I ate a watermelon. She's been eating watermelon like I eat marshmallows. Amen. Think of all the different trees that's needed for different kind of wood projects. Build cabinets, build churches, build furniture, build boats, on and on. Different kinds and types of wood for different projects. God in his wisdom did that, folks. Think of the fresh water and the salt water. And they tell me that where the fresh water runs into the ocean, it don't even mix with the salt water. That's amazing. Good gracious, what a God, folks. Think of the various animals and fishes and birds that there are. And many of them for food. I believe it was Wednesday evening after Bible study. We went home and we passed the plantation up there on the right in that open field, soybean field. And there were 6 or 7 deers out there eating the farmer's soybeans. Prettiest little animals. It amazes me. These big animals can live in the woods and they're healthy. God's taking care of them with the farmer's soybeans. Amen. Think of all the flowers in the fields and around our homes. Beautiful flowers out in the fields just growing wildly. God put them out there. God likes beauty. God likes beauty. Think of all the animals God made for us to enjoy, like our dogs and cats and horses. Think of the beauty of the world with the mountains and the streams and the countrysides. God made all that for me and you because He didn't need it. Think of all the seasons of the year with rain and snow and ice and fog and hot and cold weather. God made all these things. There's more than we can know or even mention about the greatness of our God. He's an awesome God, and He's made all these things for us to enjoy and to provide for the needs that we have. That's what Isaiah is describing in this chapter. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, Isaiah said in verse 40, and are counted as the dust of the balance. The nations are like, I used to go to the well when we lived on a tenant farm. We had about a 20-foot well, and you let a bucket down into the water, then you'd raise that bucket up. And when that bucket would come up, water would start dropping off the bottom of it. God says in His word that the nations are like a drop of the water off the bucket. The nations that's bragging of how powerful they are. The nations that's boasting of all their wealth and all their greatness. God says you're like a drop of water on a bucket. Folks, man needs to see how helpless he is before the Almighty God. Amen. There's nobody going to come up to God and tell them how great they are. It's going to be a pitiful day for most people one day. When they stand before the Holy One that loved them so much and provided for them and they didn't want Him. Our space vehicles have taken pictures from deep in space of this earth. And I've seen some of them. And I've seen it where the earth was as small as a red bug. The spaceship was so far away. Look back at the earth, and the earth was like a little red bug. It was so little. We think this earth is pretty good size, 25,000 miles around and 9,000 diameters through the middle of it. That ain't nothing compared to God. God has made the universe, and he's bigger than the universe. The nations so mighty in their own eyes are not mighty in God's sight. God can shake them all, and he's going to shake them all one day. And it looks like it won't be long before he shakes us. The nations are like the dust that's on a scale. Think about, here's a set of scales, and there's some dust on the scales. It don't even move the needle. Hey, the nations are helpless before God, and they don't even know it. The great continents that are bordered by oceans, God lifts them as if they were one tiny atom. God has infinite power. He's God. And yet, Isaiah said, he's holding us like we're a little lamb. We're dear to him. We're special to him, his people. All nations, Isaiah 40:17 says, all nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. The nations of the world today, our nation, for example, is planning how to defend ourselves against wicked nations. You know, God don't have to do that. God has all power against all nations. And the Bible says at the end of the tribulation time, God's going to bring all the nations of the world together. All the nations, their armies are going to be gathered down to come against Jerusalem. And that's when Christ returns. He comes back and every eye will see him that's on the earth. It's going to be the most terrorizing time there's ever been for man when they see the Son of Man coming. And all the nations of the world that were are going to join together to fight the Son of Man. And we're going to be there, those of us that's saved. We're going to be there, and we're going to see our Lord use his most efficient weapon. You know what it is? His word. He just speaks, and all the armies of the world just die. And then he's going to gather all the people that's left in the world that's still alive. He's going to get them together before him, and he's going to divide them into two groups, one on the right hand, one on the left. Those on the left, he's going to speak, and they're going to be gone for the worms to consume. Them on the right, he's going to usher them into his kingdom. Folks, I'm talking about a God who's God, and yet he's a shepherd to his people. Isn't he awesome? God's great power made and sustains the world today. He's sustaining this world. We're having earthquakes about every day in places now. God is letting it be known, I'm a coming. You better be getting ready, I'm a coming. These rumbles are his footsteps, folks. He wants us to know him and enjoy him in this world he's made. He wants us to enjoy him. And we can. But we got to know he's God, and we should fear him. And that means we don't have to live scared to death he's going to attack us. That's what he's not saying. He's saying we ought to be afraid to do wrong before him. That's what it's saying. He is to be our God if we will repent of our sin and trust him as our Savior. While God has made ample for the needs of life, he did so because he loves us. Isaiah 40:18, to whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? We got so many people today don't even believe there's a God. Evolution, this evolutionary theory that's in the school systems today, in the universities today, it's deceiving the young people by the thousands and millions today. Because they think those of us that believe in God and that this is the Word of God, they think we old outdated phobies. That we're ignoramuses. Folks, there is a God. I know Him. This book is His Word. It's true. And one day we'll be all judged by it. In Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other God before me, God has said. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I the Lord am God, and I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me. God knows us all. God says, ain't but one God, and I'm the God that is. And you're not let anything else is to be number one in your life, my life, but God. Everything else is second. We're supposed to do what God says. God is the true God. He's the living God. He's the eternal God, and He's the holy God. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And in truth, that means you worship God from your heart. If you worship God in your heart, it'll affect your behavior. Amen? If you worship God in your heart, it'll affect the way you live. And you worship God in truth. This word is, you live by the truth. God's word is the truth. We worship God from our heart because the Bible declares He is a pure spirit. God made the world and all things therein. See that He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He dwells not in temples made with hand, neither is worship with men's hands, as though they needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. That's Acts 17:24-25. God can only be pleased with that which resembles Himself. Therefore, He must hate sin and sinfulness, and delights in those only who are made partakers of His divine nature. Those of us that's been saved, we have the divine nature within us. We can only please Him. And we worship God in spirit, and we worship Him in truth. Our worship must be guided and regulated by the Word of God. We come to church not just to fellowship with one another, but we come here to worship our God, to praise Him in our heart, to thank Him from our heart, to bow before Him. To worship means to bow. I've come to meet with God because He's here. Whether you feel Him or see Him, He's still here. Jesus said it best. He's in our midst. He's come here today to meet with us. He knows who's here and who's not here. He's keeping a record of it. He's keeping a record of how attentive we are at listening. Are we listening? Are we letting it change us? The Word of God's supposed to be changing us. It's supposed to be bringing us to, like I found my wife this week, weeping over our sin, our sinfulness. Because except by the grace of God, I'd be going to hell. True worship sees God as holy and ourselves sinful. And we adore Him for saving unworthy us. I just can't thank God enough every day that He saved me. He saved me. I'm going to go to heaven. And I know it. I'm going to go to heaven and I know it. I got a great future. It's going to be better than living at the beach. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feeling. I'm just trying to be funny. But I'm going to hell, Brother Johnny. I'm going in spite of myself. Because the good shepherd has took care of me. Amen? The good shepherd is taking care of me every day. And I've lived long enough now to look back and see how when I was so ignorant and foolish, He was still looking out for me. Looking out for me. When I was determined to go my way, do my thing. And then He'd take me back and pamper me and accept me. He really is a good shepherd. But He's God. He's God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And am known of mine. He says, I know whose belongs to me. And those that belong to me know me. Amen. It works both ways, doesn't it? Let's love the Lord. He said, comfort my people. I want my people to have comfort. I want you to know I love you, God says. God says, I want you to know you're special to me. I love you so much, God says, I died for you. I want you to know I care for you. When you're going through your struggles, when life is hard, it's not because I don't care, God says, but it's because I'm helping you to learn who you are. You need me. You need to trust me. Call on me. Learn to love me. Because I first loved you. Loving God, thank you for the day. Thank you for letting me again have this time. Lord, you bless me. Bless our people here. Challenge hearts, encourage hearts, comfort hearts. Thank you for being such a good shepherd. And yet you're the mighty, eternal, holy God, the only true God. Bless your holy name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You here today? We always keep our altar open to come and talk to the Lord. Leave our altar open to come and pray for other people. Come and accept the Lord.